Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel. This is about Donald Trump's recent visit to the Persian Gulf. Oh, you have to call it the Arabian Gulf. Anyway, I'm going to Saudi Arabia and elsewhere. Now, remember, Trump really made a name for himself in political terms in 2015, demanding a total and complete shutdown of Muslims coming into the country. And he was cheered to the rafters for that, until we found out what the hell is going on. And then when he actually introduced his Muslim ban early in his first term, it wasn't a Muslim ban. It was a ban on citizens from certain Muslim countries, not Saudi Arabia, which is the big daddy of Islam, which is the birthplace of Islam. It was blatantly discriminatory. So you could be a Christian from whatever Muslim majority country and not allowed in. Or you could be a Muslim from another country and allowed in, and so on. But it was an attempt to discriminate. It was really appealing to the lowest common denominator. It was flagrantly Islamophobic. Now, I'm not suggesting that most Saudi Arabians support terrorism, definitely not. Some do, and obviously there's a debate on the definition of terrorism. If it's on your side, it's not terrorism. If it's on the other side, it is, for some people. But, you know, 18 out of the 19 9/11 hijackers were Saudi Arabian. So clearly there's a significant problem there. And the Saudi Arabian government has supported Islamist terrorism around the world, and indeed suffer from it, because there's some people who are just too medieval, even for the Saudi Arabian regime. And the American friendship with the Saudi regime makes a mockery of its claims to be spreading democracy around the world. Saudi Arabia, one of the most autocratic countries in the world. There's no such thing as a fair trial, where there is no freedom of expression, where you can spend years in prison in ghastly circumstances for simply opining, not inciting violence at all, where peaceful protest is equated with terrorism in the courts, and, where torture is used on a very wide scale, where there's the death penalty for all sorts of offences like witchcraft. Do their witches fly around in broomsticks like our one used to, where there's a lot of people in semi-slavery and so forth? And of course the US doesn't push them on these ones. Friends and allies. Someone like Dick Cheney will be calling the Saudi regime friends and allies when he was vice president. And then whilst denouncing Islamic extremism, but sucking up to one of the worst regimes there is, which is not that much more moderate than the Taliban. And it has improved in the last few years. Saudi Arabia, I have to hand them that. Not remotely anti-Saudi Arabian. They're, you know, I used to live there as a child. The Saudi Arabians I considered friends. But they're often victims of the regime. But there he was. And it's true that Saudi Arabia is a significant country. So love them or loathe them, you've got to cooperate with the regime to try and solve some problems. So he's trying to do that. Now, one of the things I do applaud that Donald Trump has done, he's lifting sanctions on Syria, even though they've not recognized the new regime, administration, whatever we're going to call it, of al-Shara as a legitimate government. Anyway, he supposedly got one American freed by Hamas, so no more military attacks against Yemen. That could easily change. But, you know, the United States is somewhat responsible for the civil war in Yemen, has provided weaponry to Saudi Arabia and others, knowing that it's been used to target civilians on a huge scale, knowing that starvation has been used as a weapon of war. And the British government has likewise. David Cameron has blood on his hands. And he will obfuscate and come up with some sort of self-serving, nonsensical excuse. But he's so moderate, so that's okay. I mean, he's anti-extremism, unless, of course, you know, starving children to death is not extreme. Trump, he's so erratic, reducing tariffs on China. I mean, you better not have started this tariff war. Liberation Day, it was such a good thing. Why are you climbing down after only 6 weeks? So the Saudi Arabians know how to play Trump. It's very, very easy. You have to caress his ego, make him feel important. So there was lavish hospitality for him. Okay, so he's feeling so high status. Anyway, the various deals were inked that the Trump White House claims is worth $600 billion of investment in the United States. Well, I wouldn't believe a word of it. It's worth something, but we know this is a lie machine coming out of the White House. So they are abasing themselves before Trump in the most humiliating manner. Someone who really disseminates the basest anti-Muslim tropes. And of course, this regime, which really grounds its justification for its existence on the Sharia law, is willing to put up with any insult just to curry favor with Trump. Whereas if you any reasoned mild criticism of the Islamic theocracy in Saudi Arabia, and you wind up in the slammer. So you can see the flagrant double standards there. These memorandums of understanding, the sound of Saudi Arabia, many of those will never actually result in a cent being invested, because you can back out on this. It's not a legally binding contract. So the Saudi Arabians, they've often played honest broker, mediating between Saudi Arabia and Ukraine, but Qatar is the Emiratis as well. But Trump agrees with Saudi Arabia on the need to contain Iran. But the Iranian regime is not as brutal as the Saudi Arabian one. It's not as inequitable. And there are some sort of elections. There are some political parties. There is some political debate within quite narrow parameters. Whereas in Saudi Arabia, there's none allowed. You know, Iranian women have more freedom than Saudi Arabian women. And I know the lot of women in Iran is bad. They didn't have the guardian system. They could go where they want. They could leave the country and so on. They didn't need permission like they did in Saudi Arabia. And women are getting away without wearing the hijab in Iran a lot. Anyway, so Trump has said he's against American military intervention, no nation building in the Middle East. And maybe he's right on that one. So this played well with the Saudi Arabians, partly because obviously let the regime get away with oppression and he's not going to say a word against what they're doing. So the US has supposedly managed to get India not to take such strong action against Pakistan. Pakistan is obviously said and led by Saudi Arabia because they desperately need Saudi Arabian succor. And there are a lot of Pakistanis working there, other Gulf Arab countries sending back remittances. The financially difficult situation of Pakistan means they're really reliant on Saudi Arabian aid and loans and so on. But you see American hypocrisy again. If there was a major terrorist attack on the United States, 26 civilians murdered, the US would not be talking moderation. They would say, we'll hit them back with whatever we've got. But India just has to take it and not seriously respond, considering India's been through this for decades. So why shouldn't they hit back? Goodness. So that's it. The Saudi Arabians will obviously not like Trump's idea of a deal with Iran. And he said one is very, very close. The United States and indeed the world had a deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, commonly known as the Iran deal, which Trump tore up despite the United Nations, despite the United States itself saying that the Iranians were abiding by it with scrupulosity. The US did not uphold its end of the bargain. And the Saudi the Iranian regime quite rightly said, fine. If we play by the rules and you don't, well, then we're absolved from upholding our end of the bargain and we're going to enrich more uranium. Iran is now closer to a nuclear bomb than ever before, and that's Trump's fault. And they weren't moving that direction till he shredded the deal several years ago. Biden didn't put it back. Had he done so, the Republicans would have said, oh, he's so feeble and so on. But anyway, sanctions, could they be lifted on Iran? There'd be greater prosperity for the world. Oil and gas prices would come down. That would hit the Russian economy. That would bring the Ukrainian war closer to an end. Of course, the Saudi Arabians don't want that, partly because their just anti-Persian prejudice is, partly a battle to be the major power in the Persian Gulf. There's proxy war against them in Syria and indeed in Yemen, which the Saudi Arabians now, I suppose you could say, have won, actually, in Syria, but is ongoing in Yemen. And obviously, if there's more oil and gas in the market, then that's bad for the Saudi economy because they are so well reliant on oil and gas exports. So Trump's not actually met Ahmed al-Shara, the self-appointed president of Syria. I know there was a massacre of some Alawi, which is obviously shameful. I know Assad's regime deliberately murdered tens of thousands of civilians. I'm not saying that makes this right, but in context, it's not that. Is not that high a number. I wish it was zero. Okay, I think we're not going to have the perfect regime in Syria. You can say that again. I mean, a massacre is more than imperfect. But what's the best it can be realistically hoped for? And how much control does al-Shara have over the country anyway, when Israel is illegally occupying some of it, Turkey is illegally occupying some of it, the United States is illegally occupying some of it? So he can't fully control the country as it is. So Trump has been a good thing that he visits Saudi Arabia. Some of the things he has done are positive, but in other ways, not. And he obviously just wants money. No doubt there's money in it for him. No doubt there's more of them buying his golf courses in his states, buying rooms in Trump Towers. So it's all him about lucre. There's no distinction between public and private. Just like at the Saudi Arabian regime, where the whole country is really the king's personal fief. But we know Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, has been effectively ruling the country for 10 years. His father, King Salman, is almost 90, hasn't been seen in public for a decade. Partly he's gaga, he's very physically infirmed. So it's a minor miracle he's still a good-going concern at all. So we know it's a mercantilist, it's just all about pelf for Donald J. Trump. But if he could cause a detente between Iran and the rest of the world, that would be definitely a good thing. Israel might feel less threatened. But the one the Iranians said that we're not going to do is we're not going to abandon civilian nuclear power. Why should we? Most countries have civilian nuclear energy. We're entitled to it too. Isn't it about time they were trusted when they've been saying this for 45 years? For over 35 years, the Israelis have said that Iran is about to get a nuclear weapon, which never ever happens. Israel has had nuclear weapons for 45 years and still doesn't tell the truth about them. All right, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan790@gmail.com. Goodbye.